moms and dads got saved and was as young as they are. You know what that means? I know I'm getting old, amen. But I rejoice in the goodness of God, and that He just allows us to be a part of people's lives and in the ministry. It's a blessing. Job 42 tonight. We're winding down the book of Job. 20-something messages. I think this is 20. I always say I'm going to go back and look. 26, 27, something like that. And I still have at least one more message that I would like to preach. But chapter 42, of course, is the last chapter in the life of Job. So if you want to remain seated, I want to read some verses here. And then we will look at, actually, we'll probably just read down to verse number 6 and maybe deal with the, not do the whole chapter tonight. But get an idea that in the end, here's the way I put the message. It's a good end. Don't you like a good ending story? I mean, that's what Disney World used to make money on until they got crazy or woke or whatever you want to call it, is good stories with a good ending. You know, where they ride off into the sunset or whatever it might be. And if you make a movie, you should be able to make it the way you want to end it. Anyhow, so I'm just saying, in the Job's, it's a good end. But I think we can learn some things because of that. So the Bible says, then Job answered the Lord. Now remember, the last four messages or so, God has spoken to Job through the whirlwind. And he's told Job, listen, if I can take care of the animal kingdom, if I can take care of creation, if I can take care of the donkey in the wilderness, I can take care of you. And if I can take care and call the world into existence, then I know where you're at and I know how I can take care of you. And so when we look at those messages, we go, hey, no matter what darkness we're going through, no matter what kind of trial we may have to endure, God knows where we at and He can be trusted in our trial. Doesn't mean that's going to be easy. I want to tell you, I was telling the staff I had this epiphany. And I've been going through this book for 20-something messages, and I've continued to say that as far as we know, Job did not know why God brought him into this situation. And at 3 o'clock one morning, I sat straight up in the bed and go, what if Job wrote the book? I don't believe he did. I think probably Moses did, since it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. But I do believe that Job, even to the end of his life, never knew exactly why he went through what he went through. But there were some things that he did learn. And those are what I want to deal with tonight. So notice, after God speaks, then Job answers the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Do you see that Job has learned some things? Job has learned some things for sure that, hey, even though at one point I thought I knew everything, the truth is I don't. And you know, that's so, I read a little article that started off when about a dad and his son, and how that when the son is little, that the dad knows everything. But by the time they get to be a teenager, dad don't know anything. And by the time they get to be in their early 20s, dad's messed everything up and doesn't understand. But then it turns around, and by the time he's about 40 or so, he's calling his dad to get information because he realized dad knows everything. It's kind of, sometimes we think we know things, but we really don't. And that's what Job has understood here. He said in verse 4, hear I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. All right? But now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, I was going to stop there, but the rest is so good. Let's read it. All right? And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, he's one of the guys that we didn't like, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shunite and Zophar the Nymthathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the second Kinsey, and the name of the third Kara, Carrie, very happy, happy. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Father, pray that you'd help in the message tonight and that we might get a little bit of a glimpse of what we can learn through tribulations and trials and dark periods of our life. And Lord, I'm not saying that everybody's going through something, but I know that everybody will, because it is a part of life. And so you almost, Lord, would want people to take the messages of Job and be able to hide the Word of God in their heart so that they, when they come up on a dark time in their life or a difficult period, Lord, or a dark place, that they would be able to go back and see the illustration of a man named Job. I pray that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, it's hard to believe that we're winding down the book of Job. And I would only say what a journey and what lessons we have learned. I hope that you have learned. Of course, the preacher and the one who teaches and the one who studies it always ends up learning so much more many times than when he is trying to preach the Word of God or give it to people. Because many times you just can't put everything in a sermon that you yourself have learned. But you want to be able to bring across the very essence and words of God that we might learn from it. And as we already understand from our messages on the kings and the prophets on Sunday nights, the Old Testament the New Testament says, is for our ensample. We are to learn from the stories of the Old Testament, and there are so many things to learn. Now, the message that we will learn as we come very close to the end of preaching through Job is this. Trials, when God brings us through trials, He always has the best in mind for us. When we're in a trial, God is not trying to beat us up. God is not trying to ground us into powder. God is trying to teach us. He's trying to help us to learn. He wants us to grow closer to Him. He wants us to see ourselves for who we really are. And the truth is, we should be determined to cooperate with the process. Because if we will cooperate with God through the process of trials and tribulations, truly, truly, we can learn the patience that God would have us to learn. The truth is, your dark road has a designed destination by God. It is His designed destination. Patience is believing that your dark road has a designed destination. That's what part of what patience is at. Now, I will hope that you understand that even the Bible tells us that His acquaintances came in verse number 11, and it talks about how they bemoaned Him. And they looked at Him differently now that Job had gone through this trial. In fact, I would call it a horrific trial. I've never gone through anything like Job has gone through. I dare say many people have ever gone through the horrific, dark period that Job went through. Now, it doesn't minimize what we go through. And God wouldn't minimize that. And it should be that we just maybe hope that God and the devil don't have a conversation about us. But He did about Job. But it's a good ending. Job comes out good when it's all said and done. By the way, I believe this. I mean, God put Job in the Bible so that we can learn by Job's example. Now, one of the things that's not even the message, but we can learn this. Job was definitely human, was he not? Job wanted to understand why he was going through this. But sometimes there's going to be periods of our life when we go through something that the bottom line is we don't know why. But we can learn something through it. Now, let me give you this. Remember this. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So when it's all said and done, God says, we always say, James says, we say happy is the man that endured. Then He gives us Job as the example. You've heard of the patience of Job. And we even say things like, well, I don't have the patience of Job. Well, you need to learn the patience of Job. Because the Lord always brings it to an end that is a good end. Now, God's people need to understand, you say, well, my family went through a dark period and somebody passed away. Well, if they're saved by God's grace, it turned out good. Amen. It's just that we kind of sometimes have a hard time seeing it with a finite mind. So I want tonight's message to be a message to show us the final result of Job's trial. And really can be the final result of anybody's trial. And I think there's at least three things that I want to look at tonight. And here's what I believe. They're not just unique to Job. All right? Job is the example. Job is the one that goes through this. But here's the deal. What Job went through can be universal, you know, a universal end to the trials of God's people today. Now, before we get to the message, and I thought I should have put this in the beginning of my introduction, but before I actually get into the meat of the message tonight, I have to remind us all of something that is very important through the book of Job. And that is this. This book is directed at godly Christians. This book is not about the consequences of a rebel who has sinned. That's not what this book is about. This is a book about a very dedicated man who God had said in Job chapter 1 to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan, and I'm going to paraphrase, but Satan goes, yeah. Yeah, no wonder he eschews evil. No wonder he serves you. You've put a hedge about him, but if you tear down that hedge and let me get to him, he'll curse you and he'll curse you to his face. Job never did that. And of course, the devil was proved to be wrong. Now that goes to show you what such a man of God Job was. So he was a godly man. He was very well respected. We've seen that when we looked at a chapter earlier when Job begins to reminisce. Remember that? And he begins to reminisce of what it was like when people respected him, and he sat in the gate, and the young men trembled at his presence, and the old men had respect for who he was, and that they understood that Job was a man of God who helped people, and he helped widows, and he helped those who had been done wrong. That was the kind of man Job was. Now he's gone through this. What kind of man is he going to be now? Well, I'll tell you, one of the things we learn is God puts us through trials to make us better, not bitter. And so the book is directed at godly Christians going through a trial. And so let's remember that. Now, three things. And so when I get to the third, you'll know I'm getting close. Number one, at the end of any trial, we will know God better. If we're a godly person, if we're a godly Christian, and we're willing to accept the process of a dark period in our life or a trial, listen to this, you will know God better. Job says that. Look what he said. He said in verse number 3, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not." Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But listen to what he says this. But now I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eye. After Job had finished defending himself several chapters ago, Elihu, now remember, he's the fourth one. He's not mentioned as the three goobers that get in trouble with God. But he was the one that actually spoke and said a number of accurate things about God. Everybody remember that? If you do, then I can move on. But then God had actually intervened and spoken up for himself through the whirlwind. He begins to speak to Job. And God speaks and reveals himself, listen to this, in a way that Job probably had never seen before. He'd never seen God like this. And God began to preach to him and teach him through the universe that God knew what he was doing. And again, I don't want to rehash it, but Job, do you know now that they're finding out more and more about the universe that people don't even know? Didn't even know the vastness of the universe and all of these things that the Hubble telescope bring back and how far it is from... I mean, it's just amazing, amazing, amazing. And you know, we can see that now scientifically a lot of ways. But God said to Job, "Hey, Job, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before." And through the universe, God revealed that he knew what he was doing. Through the animal kingdom, God showed that he wasn't mean and cruel. Remember, because Job was questioning he was questioning whether God was fair or not. Remember that. But through the animal kingdom, God showed he wasn't mean. God's not cruel. In fact, God is very attentive and very caring and very responsible, even though we may not understand. You see, sometimes we're like Job. We would like to tell God how things should be. But that's not the way it goes. God tells us what to do. We don't tell God what to do. And then we saw another message about the fierceness of the behemoth and the Leviathan that he, and I think I might have said it absolutely correct. He showed that he wasn't to be trifled with. And basically he said, "Job, the truth is, even though you fear me, you don't fear me enough." And I think about that. I think we are sometimes too flippant before a holy and righteous God. I think we need to be I just think we become too blasé to the holiness of God. And so when you look at chapter 42, verse number 5, I mentioned this, but Job was able to say, "I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee." Job said, I've seen it different. Because at the end of the trial, you're going to know God better. And you might look at life a little bit different from that point forward. He saw him higher, and he saw him holier, and he saw himself lower. And in fact, in our text, he said in verse number 2, "I know thou can do us everything." Did you know God can do anything? God can do everything. He could also be saying here, whatever God thinks cannot be stopped. You know, putting it simple, one of the key results of Job's dark road was that in that dark road, and I'm telling you, it's unbelievable what Job went through. I'll just remind you this one aspect. His so-called three friends traveled a long distance to see him because they heard about Job's dilemma. And when they got there, Job could not even be recognized for who he was because of the shape of his physical condition. The Bible has told us in Job that his skin was black, that the skin, he's just barely hanging on the meat of his bones. He had boils and scraping boils all off of him. And I mean, it was so horrendous that his helpmeet, his wife, said, "Job, curse God and die. Don't go through this." And I like the integrity of Job when he said, "Woman, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. God giveth, God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Whew. Job was quite a fella. But you know what? After you read that, it just keeps getting worse. And not only did he have to go through the physical pain, but he had to go through the mental torture of his friends trying to beat him up and tell him he was a sinner and tell him to repent and get right with God. Listen, sometimes you get a friend that's going through something, you don't need to talk. Just go sit with him. In other words, Job understood that he knew God better because of this trial. We aren't likely to see God like Job did, but I'll tell you this. God does reveal Himself through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through the illumination of God's Word. God, when you're in a trial, God will show you things you've never seen before. And you understand that if you've gone through something. Learning new things about God in a unique and special way. And I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about a better relationship. Seeing God in a different light. Knowing that God is God and that we're not. One of the ways that we can get to know God better is by walking with God through trials. And I'm not 100% sure why this is, but it's if there are certain spots in our heart and spots in our life that are opened up and more receptive to God's Word. I know that fasting is like that. You want to hone in on God and a prayer request or trying to get through something. I tell you, taking something away that we like food, will help you see God better than you've ever seen before. Trial does the same thing. Trial does the very same thing. God can speak to us much better many times through pain and difficulty. And there are certain lessons that I seem only able to learn in a dark period. I'm ready to listen to what God has to say. When 3 days before, when everything was rosy and good, and maybe I wasn't as willing to listen. But God puts your head in a vise and starts squeezing, you're willing to listen. But we see that trials didn't just teach him about God. The second thing is trials teach us about ourselves. Hey, we're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as put together as we want people to think we are. No, trials have a way of getting rid of pride. And pride is the enemy of a Christian. Look at verse number 6. Here's what he said about himself. "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You think Job learned some things about himself? Now listen, it would be easy for the guy who is so well respected in the community and where he actually said that young men trembled when he showed up and old men had reverence or respect. Well, you don't see that in chapter 42. Even though that happens again with Job. In fact, verse number 3, he said, "Listen, the truth is, I uttered that I understood not. I've had you all wrong. I've hidden counsel without knowledge. I've spoken about things that didn't really, and I really didn't know what I'm talking about. I abhor myself, verse 6, and I repent in dust and ashes. And basically what Job is saying, I can't believe the things that came out of my mouth and out of my heart. And for that, I'm sorry. It's like going through your files as a preacher and you find something that you preached 40 years ago or 35 years ago. I found some messages that I preached 35 years ago and I was like, did I really say that? I can't believe people listen to me. And so you say, preacher, what did you do with them? I burned them. I put them through the shredder as fast as I could. I'm like, I can't believe that. You know why? Maybe I've learned a few things since that time. But I'm like, that's the grace of God that people even would listen to that. You know, I think that you could say this. I think this is a correct statement. Before the encounter that Job went through, he saw himself as a pretty good guy. So do we. But he condemned God's action and justified his own. Remember that? And through this, he learned about sinful areas in his life and in his heart that he didn't even know that he had. If you'll say to God, Lord, if there's anything in my life that needs to be dealt with, will you show it to me? He will. He will. So while this experience made Job bigger, So while the experience made God bigger, it made Job smaller. That was a whole message that we preached. I'm not as good as I thought I was. A good New Testament illustration of this would be Peter's denial of the Lord. He made very clear the way that he talked to the Lord. And I'm going to paraphrase again. But basically he said, now, Lord, you know I would never deny you. Now, you can't trust these other guys. But you know me, Lord. I've been with you through thick and thin. I'll be with you there. I got a sword. But yet we know that Peter denied him three times. Warmed his hands by the devil's fire. And three times denied the Lord. And even one of the Gospels talks about how that the eyes of Christ met the eyes of Peter during that encounter. And we know that Peter went out and wept bitterly because Peter did not know as much as he thought he would. He knew about himself. But we also know that he recovered and did great exploits for God. But pride is like a kryptonite for the Christian. As long as it's there, God can't help you. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Now, I just want you to know something. God wants to purge it out of you. Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians there ever was, is talked about in 2 Corinthians 12 where God said he sent Paul a thorn in the flesh. And he said that he sent that, you know, and Paul begged God three times to take this away. And many people have surmised what that might have been. I even have my own opinion. But here's what God said in 2 Corinthians 12, 7. God said, I sent the thorn, Paul, lest he be exalted above measure. God has a way of humbling us, especially in dark times, through tribulation. What are people going to think? I mean, who cares what people think? What does God think? Trials do this. Trials expose weakness and sins that maybe you didn't realize you had. One of the goals of this is not only to purge you of that particular sin and weakness, but to humble you. Oh my. God can humble you. Don't be proud. Don't strut around like a rooster, thinking that you know everything. Because the trial that Job went through humbled him. And you know what a trial that humbles you does? It makes you see yourself for who you are and that you are more dependent upon the Lord in your life than you ever have been. I can't do it without Him. One of the priciest changes that took place in Job through this trial was on the inside. Job had a greater knowledge of God and a smaller view of himself when this was all said and done. And you know what that did? I'm just telling you, he lived 140 years after that, and I will guarantee you that last 140 years was wiser than the years before that. And that's why the Bible talks about experience. You want to talk to somebody about something? Go to the gray head. Go to somebody that's got white hair. Go to somebody that's got gray hair. You know, I see these guys. I understand it with women. I don't understand it with guys. You know, put something on their hair to make it not gray or white. I want to be like Brian Mills. I want to get it as white or gray as fast as possible because somebody might think I know something when I really don't. But I'm just saying, you want to listen to somebody with experience? Go to the gray head. Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For he, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So let me give you the last thing. So he had a greater knowledge of God. He had a smaller view of himself. So basically we could say at the end of the trial, he knew God better. And at the end of the trial, he knew himself better. And the third thing would be at the end of the trial, God will do what only God can do. And that's what he did for Job. And my friend, if he can do that for Job, he can do that for you. And again, I go back to where we said, behold, we count them happy that endure. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Because when the Bible says about Job, when it says in James 5:11 that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, here we see a glimpse of what that tender and mercy look like. Well, look at it. Look at verse number 10. Number one, Job prayed for his friends and God forgave them. And then the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And when you start out the book of Job, you're like, wow, this man's got a lot of stuff. I mean, God's blessed him greatly. Well, at the end, he had twice as much as he had when he began. And just to be reminded, he lost it all. He had 10 kids, 7 sons, 3 daughters, and they were all pretty. The Bible says that people came to him and brought him money. I was trying to remember what that's called. When people give you money through the internet. He got a GoFundMe. GoFundMe deal right here. I mean, I've heard of people were starting a GoFundMe, and the next thing you know, there's a lot of money in there. He got a GoFund thing going on here. People came by and said, Job, I heard what you went through. It's like in the South. Now, this in the South where I come from, and I know I've told you this, but I'm telling you, I have been away from the South, and I'm in the Midwest. I understand that. But in the South, this is what happens when somebody passes away in your family. And my mother passed away in 2017, and my dad passed away in 2020. And both of these things happened both times. And I was reminded of all this when my mom passed away. And so they'd come by the house, and they would say, sorry to hear about your mama. Here's a casserole. Sorry to hear about your mama. Here's 2 dozen eggs. I wish we would do that here. But that's what they do. And that's their way of bemoaning what has taken place. And every man gave a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold. And people I hadn't seen for ages. And if you go to a funeral home in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, Williamson Funeral Home, they have to build kitchens and dining rooms in the South because people bring so much food. It's wild. Now, I grew up that way. I come to Missouri and somebody goes, the visitation is going to be from 5 to 7. And if you said that in Tennessee, that would mean 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. Not 5 o'clock in the afternoon to 7 o'clock at night. We stood for hours. My dad passed away just before COVID, and there was 500 people went through that funeral home, and we had to stand. I mean, we stood there, but that's what happened to Job. Job, sorry to hear about what you went through. Here's a piece of money. And God gave him twice as much. Now think about this. Here, listen to this. We might say, this is a glimpse of what the tender mercy of God looks like, and it could be some insight regarding the crown of life. God restores Job. He restored his honor by rebuking his friends. He vindicated Job in front of them and made Job their priest. And said, you want forgiveness? You're going to have to go get it from Job. Psalm 37:6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. He restored his family and his friendships. He gave him 10 children. He poured blessings out upon them. He restored his health. The Bible says he lived 140 years past this trial, and he got to see four generations of his offspring. And he died a satisfied and full life. I guess God knows what he's doing. Now, it's easy to see Job, but what about when we're going through something? Twice as much as he had before. You know what God does? God is like us with our children. He delights in doing good things for his children. I love doing good things for my children, my grandchildren. And through the trial, Job endured what was very difficult, but God restored him. Let me just tell you something. God will see you through. You have to believe that. A parent that treats his child when he knows that they've been through something tough, God knew what Job went through. And look what God did for him. I'm thankful that God put this chapter at the end so we could see it. Even though he never really gives Job a great explanation of why he allowed these things to happen in his life, he does bring this trial to a close. And he shows us all that God can do only what God can do. God wants us to see that the darkness of a trial, there's an intelligent God who has a good ending in mind for us. And he will bring it to pass. He wanted Job to see God higher and Job lower, and then God wanted to bless him again. All this is written for our example. It is a written documentary on the development of patience in a godly man's life. It is put here to ultimately bring us to this idea. Your darkened road has a designed destination. Patience has this as its belief core. And a developed patience is the muscle that brings us stronger. Remember when I preached that? The very essence of patience is this. Believe that whatever God is allowing in my life has a design for my good. Now we can read Romans 8:28 and understand that. God worketh all things together for good. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's what God said to the children of Israel who were being led away into captivity. God said, I'm doing this for your good. You know, it's like this, and I can relate to this. When you're in basic training, like when you're in the, it doesn't matter what military, but when you're in basic training, you think things like, why did I do this? What was I thinking? And I got this from my grandson said, he had been there less than a week, and here's what he said to his mom and dad on the phone when they made him call. Dad, why did you let me do this? Why did you let me do this? But yet when you get to the very end, you realize everything that they are teaching you is for your good. And to teach you the way to be an airman or a marine or a soldier or a seaman. They're teaching you the way. And then when you get to the end, you're like, oh, that's why they taught us that. So here's what I want you to listen to me to say. Just like the army has a design, and we got a young man getting ready to go to the army, and I know you don't think this, but about this time next week you're going to be going, why did my dad let me do this? And all I can say is, who's your daddy now? I know. Woo! When's that T.I. going to bring me them nice, warm cookies and milk tonight? My wife, bless her heart, she gets so upset with me. I'd make some chocolate chip cookies, you know, and sit down and eat, get ready to eat them. I go, Dallas was in the middle of basic training. I go, well, Dallas ain't eating no cookies tonight. Why'd you say that? Why do you do that? Hey, everybody's got to go through it. It's his time. Not mine. I've already done it. Here's what I want you to understand. Have hope in your trial. Because it's God's design. Trust that He knows what He's doing. Amen. Trust that He wants you to know Him more. And He wants to purge you of pride. In God's tender mercy, God will restore blessings. Focus more on learning than complaining. Did you know some people would complain if you hung them with a brand new rope? Ask for wisdom. What are you wanting me to learn? Get into the Word. This is amazing to me. Can I say this is amazing to me? Somebody's going through a trial. They quit reading their Bible when they should be reading their Bible more than they've ever read their Bible. Pay attention in church. Come to church with anticipation. Go to bed on Saturday night at a decent time so you don't nod through church on Sunday morning. Eat a good breakfast. Get your protein that you need to stay awake. And be sensitive about what needs to be changed in your life. And then be pliable and be ready to repent. I used to think this. I don't know that God's ever going to let me be a preacher because I go to the altar more than most people I know. Am I the only one that's a wicked sinner who needs the preaching of God's Word? Anyhow, just a thought. I'm not saying you have to go to the altar every time, but certainly sometimes God speaks to your heart. Number one, at the end of trials, we'll see God better. We'll see ourselves better. And we'll see what only God can do. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. It's a good end. It's a great ending. Because God knew what He was doing. You need to come. You come ahead tonight.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pain to the burdens press and the care?